Hey, freedom fighters, welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. We have two amazing guests here. We've got Thomas Lawrenson. We've got Ryan Dick. What's going on, gents? How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. But you can call me Tom. Don't have to keep it formal. I think we know each other pretty well by now. So
okay, all right. Yeah, man, all good. So yeah, really glad to have you guys here, man. You guys are out there crushing it in real estate. I believe you guys just raised capital on a deal, right? So you guys are out there moving and shaking.
Yeah, absolutely. We feel we're feeling really good about where we've come in the amount of time that we've been doing real estate. You know, we started off in flipping and doing that initially, and then we transitioned to syndications. Awesome. And then now we're doing a big multifamily flip that we just got done raising today. We literally wired funds off today. So $140,000 to get us started, and with a hard money loan and everything else, we're getting ready to renovate a big multifamily property down in Pensacola, Florida. So down where Tim is from. So
outstanding, man. Well, hey, very excited to get into this, guys. We're going to get into some nitty gritty and add some value to the show. I think you guys are going to add some serious value. So I'm excited for it. But let's start with just giving a background. So you mind giving a background on your careers and kind of what brought you to real estate to begin with?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I'll take that first, Ryan, if it's good. But so for me, I grew up seeing my dad manage rental property in Seattle, basically actually on a houseboat. So working construction with him and learning kind of the tricks of the trade there. So like a level doesn't do you very much good when you're sitting on the water. You know what I mean? You need to, right. Everything is squared when you're doing that kind of carpentry work. So basically I was a hired hand from the time I was very little, helping fix stuff for and with my dad, and just learning the tricks of the trade from him. And that was where I got my passion initially for real estate and just all of the things that he taught me as a kid growing up. And I just always had a desire to continue that, but ended up joining the service and kind of got away from it. And then for me, Ryan and I have always wanted to partner up together. We grew up together. We had the same nanny, so we've known each other since we were like 2 years old. And so we were like, man, we're gonna do something together, grew up running around in the woods playing together, and we're like, we're gonna start something together. And eventually, after I did my first flip and had a lot of success with it with my partner at the time, Brandon Perdue, I hit up Ryan. I'm like, hey man, this whole flipping game is actually pretty cool. What do you think? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And we ended up partnering together on some flips, and then we got to where we are. But yeah, I think it started off for me as a kid is when I first got interested.
Awesome, man. All right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Tom basically said it. Just he brought me in. I'm a software engineer here in San Francisco, and so doing something kind of quite different, but was really excited about the real estate stuff because it's much more tangible, I guess. And I like this. I like that you basically buy something, you add value, and you sell it again. You're not trying to create the next, social network or whatever. So it's a very rewarding thing to be a part of.
That's awesome, man. That is really, really cool. How did you guys meet, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what brought you guys together again?
Yeah, so like I kind of alluded to, we grew up together. Like,
grew up, okay, right.
Yeah, so, grew up together. Cool. We had the same nanny actually growing up. So like up until we were like, I think we were like 10 before we like stopped going to the same daycare and all that good stuff. So we were like thick as thieves since we were kids, and that's always hanging out. And then you know, after college and stuff, we kind of went our separate ways about the world, and I went the military route, and Brian went and conquered the tech world. And, you know, he's working at Instacart and just crushing life down there in San Francisco. And then I went the military route. So that's how we linked up. So we've always been hanging out for a long time. So, yep.
Bro, I love that.
Our company is named Big Wheel Capital. And that's actually a throwback to our days in the daycare when we used to ride big wheels.
Yeah,
get out of here.
You know what I'm talking about, right? The huge wheel in the front riding around. Yeah.
Wow.
So, throwback to one of those.
Man, yep. See, that is really cool. All right. So I'm really glad I asked that question again, because that really is cool. It's something you really don't see, right? I mean, folks that just stay friends for so long, and now you guys are investing together and conquering the world together. That's awesome, man. That is really, really cool. So good on you guys for, you know, really, really building that relationship and yeah, moving it forward. Now you guys are going to be making some big money together in the multifamily realm. So
Yeah. That is one thing. I mean, one thing we were excited to talk about is the power of working with a close friend for real estate stuff. I mean, Tom can talk about this too, but I think for me, it's added. I know that I would never have done any of this stuff had it not been for Tom. Right. So yeah, like working with a close friend adds motivation. It adds like new skills that, you know, you might not have. And then it also helps the relationship too. Like it adds a whole new layer of meaning where you're not just, you know, meeting up for beers and hanging out. You're like making money together, which is
right.
One thing.
That's it. Exactly. So, absolutely love it, man. I mean, you guys definitely out there crushing it together. It makes me think, you know, I've got some relationships, you know, with some folks that I've invested with too, but you know, we haven't really done anything big together. So I wonder if that's possible.
No, I want to riff off of what Ryan said. And I think it is, I read a book a while ago. I think it was actually the Master Key System. And it was just talking about that people think that you need, when you're networking and stuff in real estate, that you need to go out and you do need to expand the network. I believe, and we're always doing things like, you know, I cold called like Grant Cardone's office and stuff. And then, you know, you go and like hit up people that are big players, but also you forget that your family connections that you have that are actually the lawyer that you know, or someone that actually really specializes in what it is that you're trying to do for like getting a consultation on construction work and stuff. And I think that's a common misconception, is that, hey, just because this person is close family, doesn't mean that you should discount them, or you don't see them in the light that you probably should, right? That sure. You grew up with them. So you forget that, okay, actually this guy is really smart, really talented in this regard. And so I think that's something that people would be better served actually going first to people that actually really care about you and care about the success of your business without the monetary aspect, and then branching out to the people that, you know, are only motivated by the monetary aspect of the business, for me at least.
Right. Absolutely, guys. No, I love that. And I think there's also some anxiety too, right, that comes with talking to friends and family about business. I feel like, you know, maybe that's more of a limiting belief, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're totally right. In fact, I think it's more, it's harder to have those conversations with family when it comes to, you know, investing alongside one another, than it is sometimes to talk to a complete stranger because of that reason. Cause hey, you're talking to your dad about real estate, and he's the guy that, you know, taught you everything that you know, or for Ryan, you know, talking to his mom and dad about working in the business and stuff too. That's like some of those harder conversations. But I think that the beauty of it is that when you get past that, we're able to give value back to our families in a real meaningful way. And that's what I think is also pretty neat as well too. So.
Right. Yeah, no, I love that, man. That's cool. So tell us a little bit about what the first deal was like. I mean, you guys said that you started out with some flipping, right? So like, what were some of those challenges you guys faced in that realm?
Oh man. So I think that something funny is that the first flip I ever had was like with my partner Brandon Perdue. It went so smooth that like I called Ryan like as soon as it got done, and I had the money wired over. I'm like, you know, hey, we just made 10 grand in like 2 months. No big deal, dude. I loaned the money. I'm telling you, it's going to go smooth. And then I hit up Ryan and he's like, yeah, man, let's do this. This is our opportunity to work together. And then we jumped in on this property at Alexwood. And, you know, there was some dramas and it took a little bit longer and it was just a normal flip. Oh, we now realize that, hey, not every flip just gets boom done like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just like it's the unknown unknowns that you'll never know until you can read all the books, yep. You can read all the literature, but until you do your first project, mm-hmm. you just truly never understand all of the things that happened with closing and whatnot. And Ryan, I don't know if you want to tell the story about when you took us in.
Ryan's like, nah, I don't want to talk about this next question.
Yeah. No, it actually ended up being a great ROI, man. I think it ended up being like a 20% annualized ROI, 22%. So it still like was a great investment, but definitely like it took much longer than we had initially imagined. But when Tom and I took our first business trip together, the flip was in North Carolina. And so we flew out together, splurged on muscle car to rent. I think it was like, you know, some Camaro or something like that. Just cause I mean,
good, right? Yeah.
And so we're driving around this thing and we meet up to go check out the house, which was either done or nearly done. I think it was done, but then sitting on the market while the buyer was closing. And so we go on the tour of it and, you know, it's like we're seeing it for the first time and we look at it, the kitchen looks great. And then we open the door to the garage, which is going off the kitchen. And there's like some dude's like sleeping bag and like someone had just been like squatting in the garage.
Oh no.
Says because we had 100% occupancy even before we ended up selling the property.
Yeah, there you go, right? It gives part of our like giving back to the community, you know?
So. Yeah.
Oh my God, wow. Oh, that's wild, man. Dude, that's crazy. That happens a lot more often than you think, right? I mean, especially if you're doing a sight unseen property, man, it's hard. It's hard to know, but okay, that's cool. So I'll ask a quick question and I got a little bit of a sense. So Ryan, are you more of the numbers guy on the team and Tom just like the mover and shaker on the team?
Is it my glasses or what gives you that impression?
I mean, you can't glasses. You were like, oh man, well, it was a good ROI, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was like really good numbers.
I guess I showed my cards there, yeah. Yeah, I was an econ major and being a software engineer, it kind of lends itself to that. So that's the point. And but Tom's still really solid with the numbers, right? You have to be to get to where you're at. But like one thing that I really appreciate about him is, and this is like goes back to like the working with friends thing, is that, you know, he's always out kind of like pushing the bounds of new things we're going to do. So like we did this first flip, right? And then we did one more. And then Tom was like, hey, we should do a fund and syndicate that and do like a ton of flips. I was like, what are you talking about, man? Like, that's a crazy idea. And then you start thinking about it more and like, it makes a lot of sense. And so like a lot of the big leaps that we've taken in the business have been like him kind of thinking out of those crazy ideas. Now he's had some crazy ideas that didn't work out, of course, but and then being the numbers guy, like a lot of, I would be like the, you know, modeling the financials of that and making sure that made sense. But usually his intuition was spot on, which is great.
Outstanding, man. Yeah. Well, hey, every strong team has got a, you know, strong numbers guy and a strong mover and shaker. So
you hit the nail
on the head, Ryan and I joke. It's like, basically I'm trying to find new territory. And then he's civilizing the new structure that we have. So that's like the two arms of government for us. But, we called so many different syndication attorneys and I was like, Ryan, I'm getting all this, like, I'm doing like 15 minute consultations with all these different syndication attorneys. I'm like, man, I've gotten like 2 hours of free legal advice on how we should be setting up our company before we even did our first fund, you know, $2.5 million offering with our attorney, Kim Lisa Taylor. She's absolutely phenomenal. But, you know, that's the thing too, that Ryan and I try and do is we try and leverage every time that we get an opportunity to meet with someone that's an expert. It's like, let's like try and get as much out of the conversation as we can, because there's just so much experience that they have from just being in the business for a long time that they forget just how much they know. If they've been doing it for like 20 years, like Kim has, for example, it's like, it's kind of amazing that way, I guess. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome, man. Awesome. Yep. Awesome stuff. So, yeah, man. So let's get into a little bit of the multifamily side. So, you know, as a team now, you guys have learned to work apart. I'm sure, you know, managing schedules and stuff is always a challenge. And it's just you two? It's just a two-man team? Obviously, with the extended partners, you have your property manager and whatnot, but is it just you two on it?
No, not at all. I think, well, in the company itself, as far as Big Wheel Capital, it is Ryan and I. But then we also have the Flip Fund that we already alluded to, where Brandon Perdue is also a partner and our primary person that is doing that's part of the syndication, the 506B offering with us. So he's the guy that's the operations officer that's managing the flips. So like we're doing a big colonial style house right now in Rayford, North Carolina. And he's like on site, making sure the work's getting done, like sending us photos and everything else. And so he's one of our partners too. And then also like in the multifamily side of the house, we're really fortunate to be working with Tyler and Ian from Northern Star Real Estate Investment. And we're equal partners right down the middle.
Right.
And they have been phenomenal with the acquisition side of the house. Nice. And we have another multifamily that we're looking at right now. And so they do the acquisitions. They walk the property. We fly out and go out with them. And then after that, then we make sure that it's a good deal. Ryan makes sure the numbers work out. And then we will raise for the deal. But yeah, no, it's – I think – We have such a big network of people that have made it possible. It's like a huge misnomer to say that it is one person or even like two people, because we're always trying to like reach out to people that know more than us and reach left and right to our partners. And just like, I think that it takes a big, broad, strong network to be successful. And you know, the credit really belongs to our partners as much as it does Ryan or myself, although Ryan is freaking awesome. And he is the engine that drives it for sure. But
love it. Love it. Love it, guys. Yeah, no, I can definitely see it. So you guys have a pretty big team, which, you know, can come with its challenges, right? It's hurdles when it comes to dealing with schedules and whatnot. But, you know, how do you guys manage the inner workings of that, right? So like if, let's say someone can't, you know, let's say do something at some point. Does everyone have a little bit of a role when it comes to say acquisition or say dealing with contracting or dealing with management, or is it one person specific focus on each individual task?
Yeah, I can take that one, Tom. So with that multifamily deal, when we were acquiring the property, it was a pretty nice split where it was just kind of the acquisition side around, you know, finding the property manager. Well, first of all, finding the deal in the first place, finding the deal, and figuring out the lending situation. Mm-hmm. That all of those things kind of fell under Tyler Moore and Ian McDonald. And then Tom and I were really focused on the investor relations as well as the syndication of the offering itself. And then we came together on a lot of like, and basically any major decision was made as a group.
Yeah, the decisions, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we find ourselves. So then the ongoing management's really, first of all, so we're lucky enough to land like an amazing property manager. I mean, I'm sure you have some that you've worked with as well, but it just makes all the difference. So this company, Prodigy Property Management in like Eastern Washington and in Idaho area. They're phenomenal. And so basically they send like a weekly update and we have a weekly meeting where we all video conference in using like Google Meet. And so we all do a video conference, go over the agenda, and kind of knock off all the major decisions. And then if there's, we'll also do is like, you know, we'll delegate to a single person, kind of the way a board will to like a subcommittee. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, like we really need to figure out how to structure the turning of the units, right? Because we're remodeling each one of the units and we need someone like working really closely with the property management company. So like, hey, let's delegate this one to Tom. Tom's going to be like the main point of contact and then he runs with it and then brings it back to the group for the main call. So that way we can try to achieve a little bit of efficiency, because as you said, it can be difficult for everyone to weigh in all the time.
It certainly can, man. So how do you guys communicate as a team? Like, is there a certain channel that you guys use? Like whether it's Boxer or like Slack chat or like something like that?
We basically use like every channel possible. I use Slack at work. We wanted to spin up Slack, but we ended up just like continuing to use our text thread. So we have this
A wicked text thread. It's
Full of
if you look away for an hour, there's like 15 notices on there.
It gets crazy. I hear that, man. Okay. Yeah. I ask these questions because oftentimes we get a lot of people that, talk about, hey, how do I get started? How do I get started? And sometimes people only have a specific skill, right? So we say start a team, right? Or join a team. You know, these are certain, things that people don't think about, certain challenges you have to face even within the team itself. And so navigating through those challenges and being able to, raise capital, syndicate a deal, it's tough. It's tough.
Right. There's people that do not like doing phone calls and stuff like that. And there's people that like me that, my dream job would be like, if I could be a Walmart greeter or a telemarketer or something like that, that's like my wheelhouse. Like if I can like give someone a hug through the phone, like that's my, jam. Like our syndication attorney, I think she calls us her favorite young clients. Cause she has like some really big clients like Vinny Chopra and stuff that are like absolutely crushing it, and it's been nice enough to take Ryan and I on as he's like mentoring us, and the guy's doing like $52 million deals and stuff. But she really helps us with that mentorship part about it. And then also like the thing that like I just love talking to her. And so she's always like, you know what, let me introduce you to this person. And really I have no business talking to a guy that's doing $52 million syndications and stuff, but she's always thinking about her clients and always thinking about how can I help out people. And that's something that like Ryan and I are always trying to do too, because a lot of times like we have such amazing investors like this Mandy Ellett and Matt are just phenomenal. And they, this is a good story, the bus story, Ryan. I can tell you how.
Here we go.
But anyway, so let me finish this first. So Mandy is like a phenomenal accountant and does like banking and stuff. And she's like, okay, well, we have money that's not being used in the multifamily deal. Why don't we put that in a high yield account, like a CD or something like that? So we ended up going with her recommendation. And just by doing that alone, we were able to make like $3,000 that otherwise we wouldn't be able to find. So like just leveraging those special skills that you have on the team, I think is just such a smart move.
Hey guys, Kevin here. And I wanted to take a quick break from the show to fill you in on what's happening behind the scenes at Active Duty Passive Income. Most of you already know that ADPI is not just a podcast. We're a community of real estate and passive income warriors taking action, building wealth, and giving back together. That's why I'm so proud to announce the creation of ADPI's Financial Services Division. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team of pros is ready to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
But I got to tell you this story. So how we met this investor is like one of the funniest things. So I was like, I was riding the bus to school, going to the University of Washington for my master's program. And I was on the phone with Ryan actually talking about a deal. I think I was talking about the horse farm at the time that we had bought, and then we're going to renovate an equestrian horse farm. It's crazy. And I'm talking on the phone, and I see this guy who's seriously like, you're a big guy, Mike, but this guy's like probably about 6'4" and like a shaved head and stuff. And he like grabs me by the shoulder and is like, are you into real estate investing? I'm like, oh my God, like, don't beat me up, man. Like, I thought he was going to be like, all right, now I'm going to tie you up and I need to know your accounts and all this and that. But he ended up wanting to invest, and like, we met like three other times. He ended up investing a really big chunk. He's like, wow. I wanted to do $90,000 at first. He ended up doing $50,000 investing with us.
Nice.
We've done a couple projects together, and him and his family are just amazing. They're huge real estate investors. They have duplexes and stuff, and we just absolutely, the more you spend time with your investors, the more you like just come to love and appreciate everything that they do. It's really, they're really as much part of the team as anyone that's actually, actually churning wrenches and hammering nails, really. So
I love that, man. I absolutely love that. And it's so true. You gotta spend that time, right? You gotta build those relationships. And so I would take it, and I'm just going to ask, but you guys predominantly do 506Bs, right? Investments with sophisticated investors. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So that's what it sounded like. So yeah, that's good. And you build those relationships. They're already pre-existing. So right. You guys won't have any issues when it comes to SEC regulations and all that crap, but
yeah,
it's cool.
And that's the thing for us is that we wanted to bring the family and friends along with us for the ride. Like we consider doing a 506C, but I think that the thing that kind of made me steer away from that personally, at least, is that we want to be able to have those in-depth conversations with people and just explain like exactly what's going on. And then people know us, and that's like the benefit as well too, is that also if we do want to go down that route later on, we want to have a really good sizable track record of success that we can go to an accredited investor with confidence that doesn't know us from Adam. And we're just instantly have that good, strong reputation. And I think that's part of it too, is that, before Ryan and I took anyone else's money, we focused on our own money being successful first, and we're successful. And then we said we felt confident enough to bring in friends and family to start working with us too. So,
right. Awesome. Yeah. Man. Awesome. Well, hey, I love it. There's no complaints when deals go right. Right. So as long as you guys are investing good, everything will work out. And then you guys have that, build that track record, just like you said, man, and things are going to be successful. And it sounds like it really sounds like you guys have everything squared away and you guys have a good team. So I love it. Wish you guys the best of success with that, man.
Thank you.
Very fortunate. That's for sure.
All right, man. So, so we're getting close to time here. Is there anything else that you guys want to drop out before we go into the bonus round? We've got like maybe a couple minutes.
Ryan, you want to talk about the moonshot principle that we've been talking about and meditating on, I think, for some time, how we were able to get to where we are, build up the way that we've been.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll throw it out there, see what people think. So Tom and I talk every Sunday night. That's like it's a combination of just catching up. And then also we like to like reflect on what we've learned through doing this type of stuff. And one of the principles that come out, I don't know if you've seen these, but probably like 6 months ago or so, like two documentaries came out on the Fire Festival.
Oh yeah, I saw one of them. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was very interesting. And that we're basically like, we never want anything to happen like the Fire Festival in our business. Right, like
I just remember Ja Rule's comment that is like, that's not fraud. That's not fraud. that's a false advertisement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
We were talking a lot about that. We're like, well, what can we take from this, that whole experience? And you can always blame things on different characters and stuff like that. But I think what we were thinking, what we could tie back to our own business, is that what it seemed like what happened there was that the guys took on something that had a lot of components that they had never done before. Right. So it's like throwing a tropical festival, I don't even know if they'd thrown a festival before, like the lighting, the ticket, like all this stuff. Right. And so, whereas like, if you contrast that to, so the example, and Tom knows this better than I do, but like the, of putting a man on the moon, right? Like when we made that commitment, we knew that we had all the different components figured out. It was just a matter of like putting them together, or maybe like one component, discovering kind of one new component, but it wasn't like we didn't know any of the different components. Right. So that's kind of what we were thinking about with the real estate stuff. So like, we had this fund that was a 506B syndication for flipping houses, and we really wanted to do a multifamily deal. And so basically doing a multifamily deal was kind of like one new aspect that of all, building on all the stuff that we'd already done before. So we'd already done 506B. We've already raised money from investors. And we had help from our great partners on some of the other aspects of like the underwriting and stuff like that. And so it ended up being just kind of like one new step instead of like three new steps. So that's kind of how we like try to evaluate new opportunities, is just taking like kind of one additional leap instead of like three hop steps.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. That sounds really, really good. All right. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, guys, I love that. You know, it's just like a systematic progression with things. And it sounds like you guys are very systematic, even with the team that you guys have built. So that's good.
Yep. Yep.
That sounds like a title to a podcast, Systematic Approach to Team Building. Hey. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, all right. Well, guys, it's been phenomenal having you guys on here. Thank you so much for what you guys have done. I want to take us the bonus round. We've got four questions for you. So here we go. All right. And you guys can both answer this. You don't have to do a combined answer. It's all good.
Right? Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
So what is your favorite book?
Okay. So that's a hard question because I have, like, I should send a picture of my library out to Ryan, and I literally have like 100 books. It looks like a crazy person's nice library, but I've been thinking about this, and truly, I think Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, because that was kind of the aha moment that I had about basically visualizing a goal, taking the necessary actions towards that goal, and then really manifesting what you envisioned and engineering and being the architect of your future. I think that was the first time I really that aha moment I had. And for me, that was the book that kind of started it all. And it's one of those books that you can go back and revisit at a different time, and it speaks to you a little bit differently depending on what's going on. And maybe you can relate more later on with the guys that are the titans of industry and stuff. But you can also relate to the people that he chooses to highlight that are having the trials and tribulations too when you're starting off and frustrated and so on and so forth too. So for me, that's my one book that I think is just still speaks to me even today. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's a great one. And then on mine, I would just add, there's a book called Difficult Conversations, which is just how to have really difficult conversations in a way. I personally, I believe if you can say a very difficult message to someone in a way that improves the relationship, that's like the ultimate superpower. And you know, this happens all the time when you're working with other people. Someone wants to go a different direction, or you feel maybe offended by something someone did, or like, right, you have to talk about that. It's basically just all about to tactically have those conversations. So
love it.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, no, that's good. Those are good, two good books. So I will definitely drop notes to those in the show notes page. There'll be links in there, guys. So make sure that you check them out. And all right, question number two, who are your biggest heroes and why? I guess Tom, we'll start with you again.
Okay. That's too easy. So, my biggest heroes are my mom and dad, and I know people might roll their eyes a little bit, but my dad grew up the son of a Lutheran minister, and, really was like a bootstrap worker his whole life. He built the three houses by hand that we were fortunate enough to live in, and, you know, taught me everything that I know about, you know, how construction and work ethic and building up. He talked to me about money from the time I was very young, and the importance of saving and building wealth and what that meant. And you know, he used to say that making money is basically like filling a bathtub with a teaspoon, and spending it is like pulling the plug. And so I just, little things like that have just always stuck with me. And seeing my mom like get done working as a school teacher and then going and like doing the subfloor of the house, or going up on the roof and laying shingles and stuff. Those kind of things, your kid is always watching you. I have two boys that my wife, my wife Yasmin and I are fortunate enough to have two beautiful boys. And if she listens to this, she's the reason that all this is possible, because she supports me and backs us up. But yeah, your kids are always watching. And that's the thing, is that why my parents are still my two biggest role models to this day. So
I love that, man. That's awesome.
It's given that we were childhood friends, I got to spend a lot of time with Tom's parents as well. So I got the benefit of that mentorship as well. One person I really admire is Tony Hsieh from, he's the founder of Zappos, and he, you know, serial entrepreneur, and then went off to sold Zappos to Amazon. He's really like amazing at culture, like creating great company cultures, and like is his book Delivering Happiness, where he talks a lot about his principles. Yeah, I just love the way he over delivers value to everyone he works with, it seems like. But I think what was inspiring recently is I think about 5 years ago he started this thing called the Downtown Project in Las Vegas, where he was kind of revitalizing this whole area of downtown Vegas doing real estate investment, doing investment in different businesses, and kind of like doing a holistic approach to a community. So I really vibe off of that, because I think even like a small multifamily, you can like really add a lot of value and create a community. So yeah, I just really like that.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. I love it. All right, guys. Great responses on that one. Question number three, what do you guys like to do for fun?
For me, what I like to do for fun. So my wife jokes that I'm like the most basic bee there is. So like, if you can imagine what some stereotypical guy would like to do in some movie or something, that's what I like to do, except like, you know, I'll go get a pumpkin spice latte, go to the farmer's market with my family, or take them to the zoo. And like, I spend almost all my free time with my family, and I do it willingly, basically. Mm-hmm. And it brings me nothing but joy. Like, some guys, they like to go out and kind of escape from the family to go, you know, have a beer or go do hunting and stuff like that, which is totally cool. But for me, I actually like really recharge when I'm with the boys. I'm never happier than when I'm doing like WWF with my two sons and just roughhousing and stuff, and that's how I really love to spend my free time. If when I'm not doing stuff I love with Ryan or at work in the military, that's where I choose to spend all my time.
That's awesome, man. Love that.
Yeah, nothing too crazy for me. I live in a neighborhood of San Francisco called SoMa, which has like all these amazing cafes and restaurants and stuff like that. So just, yeah, hanging out with friends, going and like soaking. I mean, paying so much for to live there, it's like you got to take advantage of what you got there.
Ryan, you got to tell them about your volunteer work that you're doing on that board in San Francisco too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So really quickly, there's a thing you can do in California called a community benefit district, where you essentially create an HOA for a whole neighborhood. And it's basically the property owners in the neighborhood have to vote to add an additional property tax, but that additional tax money, then if they approve it, gets funneled into a nonprofit that then provides services back to the neighborhood. So my neighborhood has quite a lot of problems around like keeping clean. And, but I mean, it has like a really vibrant culture and community. And so we voted to do this, and, so it's like working a lot on the kind of getting that started, and then recently joined the board, which with a bunch of amazing people, like real estate developers, nightclub owners, like other local renters, everyone. So it's just, and everyone that just like really loves the community. And so I get, both socially and for this nonprofit, I've been spending a lot of time doing that too.
That's cool, man. Yeah, all right. Great. That seems really, really interesting of a concept, but it's good that you have a community and a culture that accepts something like that, right? Because I'm sure that can go just as south either way. You know, if it was a where folks really aren't that supportive, and you know, people get all crazy with the money and whatnot. But that's awesome, man. All right, guys. So last question, and I know I can already feel the power from this. This is going to be great. What three nuggets of wisdom do you guys have to give to those that are just getting started?
I think, I'll do one, then we'll let Ryan do his ones too. I think that, for me, Ryan already alluded to it, but there's a video out there. It's the shrimp and the goby we found out. But when we first found out about it, we used to call it the shrimp guppy video. Okay. And basically this is it. So there's a shrimp that is like blind, and there is a fish that like protects the shrimp. Okay. From predators and stuff. And the shrimp digs the burrow and the fish guards the fish guards the shrimp. And we try and think always in these terms is like, how can we play to someone's disadvantage, or where are they weak and where are we strong? How can we help someone? And because we're always thinking this way, we were able to grow, I think, a lot faster than maybe most people have grown. And so even someone who is like way outside my league, as far as like in real estate, you have something to offer them and you just need to think about, how could I help them out in the shrimp guppy combo, like we say. So like, yeah. Vinny Chopra, this guy is a huge real estate mogul. You know, he's going to be on your guys' podcast, I think, coming up here in a couple of weeks. That's something little I could do, is that I'm like, hey, you got to meet Tim and Mike. These guys are awesome. They're doing a podcast. You can promote your book or whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, that's great. I'd love to do that. You know? And even though I don't have a ton I can offer him, other than like when Ryan and I will raise for one of his deals coming up here, we're going to become one of his general partners and stuff. But,
nice.
You know, it's like, that's something small that I could do that helps him out. And then of course, like just trying to think in someone else's benefit always, I think is kind of that principle that we're thinking about always, is that instead of being so me-centric all the time, focus on other people, kind of like a, just as a general guiding principle, I think is a good way to do business and stuff. A good nugget of wisdom is that you get a lot further when you think about other people first as opposed to yourself.
Love that.
Yeah. I'll add two real quick ones. One super tactical, like not as heartwarming one, and then one that I think might be more heartwarming. But so the super tactical one is on this multifamily, right? It was 3.5 million. We ended up doing, like, getting the property manager, getting the money raised, all this stuff on a decent timeline. A lot of it thanks to my uncle Larry and my aunt Jenna for investing, and then like a lot of our other uncles and friends and stuff like that. But what almost destroyed us was the lending side, working with like securing the Freddie Mac loan. There were things that we had no idea about. I mean, we didn't know about the net worth requirements, which like for us under that loan was basically to have a net worth equivalent to the to the size of the loan. Liquidity requirements were okay because we raised all the money.
We were close, but not close enough.
Yeah. We had raised all the money for the rehab, so we had the liquidity, but and then kind of like new, like kind of emerging requirements around like skin in the game. We had to find like $100K to invest like last minute. So it's just like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
I think like just making sure that all those things are nailed up front is something that we're definitely going to do going forward. And if like last minute be like, hey, mom and dad, can you like guarantee this loan? They're like, what are you talking about? So yeah, that was like a hectic last close. Right. But
you guys did it though.
We did it. I mean, it was like compliments to the Tyler and Ian, and then like everyone else is just,
yeah, man,
took all the hits. So that's like super tactical. One, I think just like we touched about this earlier, but the whole like working with a friend or someone you care about, I think it's just like it, you know, I know people are like, oh, it's going to dilute my own equity or whatever in the thing. And it's just like, it's just, but the, when you,
horrible mindset,
some of the parts is like so much greater that it's just, it's exponential. I mean, I would just really strongly recommend that.
I love that. Awesome, guys. Amazing value. Thank you so much for your time. Guys, make sure that you guys reach out. How can our listeners get in touch with you guys?
Oh, I think just, for me, just email ryan@bigwheelcapital.com, thomas@bigwheelcapital.com. Facebook is fine too.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to have links in the show notes page on that for these two awesome gentlemen. And you guys go out there and continue to crush it in real estate. Thank you so much for your time and contributing to the podcast. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guests, and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.